Yeah, and the algorithm, like my dad said, is the intelligence behind a website or an app. So the website's goal is, of course, for having more people stay on it longer. And so they want to have more repeat customers come back, and they want everyone using their site to be happy. So for Airbnb, that means they're going to be promoting their best listings first, the listings that are going to be more relevant to the guests, and so that the guests can get exactly what they want without having to, browse millions of pages to get that house. So you got to think like Airbnb or like VRBO is, and trying to see if they want to make money, how are they going to be promoting their listings? Welcome to the Superhost Unveiled podcast, where a small family created a thriving vacation rental business in the heart of the White Mountains. Founded by husband and wife duo Peter and Julia Plord, with the help of their business-savvy daughter Hannah, Peter was able to leave his full-time job and move him and his wife to their dream location. Together, we'll discuss the secrets of building a successful vacation rental business and beyond. Pack your bags, let's check in for the journey of your life. Here are your superhosts, Hannah and Peter Plord. Hello, everyone. My name is Hannah.
And this is Peter.
And welcome back to another episode of the Superhost Unveiled podcast. Today, we're really excited because we're going to be talking all about how to stand out from the crowd on Airbnb, VRBO, any platform where you're going to be listing your property.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
So a lot of good stuff that we're going to go over.
Yeah. So to kick it off, we actually found a really helpful article from Logify. And it goes over the 10 things that you need to be doing to stand out from the crowd. Or, well, they have it as the 10 tips to improve your ranking. And most of them are pretty much exactly what we had written down. So we thought we'd go over their 10 tips, give you a little input from what we think, and add any of our own. You have anything to add about that?
No, just want to let everyone know that there is 100 factors that go into Airbnb's algorithm, just so everyone knows that. It's very much like when you do a search on Google. It acts the same, kind of the same way. It just so you have an understanding on how it works. So your goal, if we do a search just for our neck of the woods up here in North Conway, there's over 300 plus properties. And the goal is to stay on the first page, if at all possible. If not the first, then the second. I think once you fall below the second page, you risk not making as much money as you can. So it's really important to stay in those top two pages.
Yeah. And the algorithm, like my dad said, is the intelligence behind a website or an app. So the website's goal is, of course, for having more people stay on it longer. And so they want to have more repeat customers come back, and they want everyone using their site to be happy. So for Airbnb, that means they're going to be promoting their best listings first, the listings that are going to be more relevant to the guests, and so that the guests can get exactly what they want without having to, browse millions of pages to get that house. So you got to think like Airbnb or like VRBO is, and trying to see if they want to make money, how are they going to be promoting their listings? So up first on the Logify, and we can link this article in the show notes description or the show notes. But the first thing that they have listed is to think like a guest. And I'm not going to read like the fine prints on this stuff, but I think that is super important to be thinking like a guest, because that's who your audience is. That's who your key person that you're trying to market to. So if a guest is looking for a family house or a party house or a secluded getaway, you got to be thinking, how can I attract those people? How can I please the guest that I want?
Yeah, and certain things are out of your control, right? If you have a house that sleeps six and this particular guest is searching for a house that sleeps 10, then obviously your listing will not show up. One of the things I want to do say, though, is if you're a host, make sure when you search on Airbnb and you want to just maybe see where your property is, don't do it on your main browser. Do it in the incognito mode. And I'm on a Mac, and if I look, there's three little dots on the right-hand side of my screen at the top. I'm on Google Chrome, so it might be different if you're not using Google Chrome. And you click on those dots, and it says new incognito window. this is where I'm going to recommend that you do your searches if you want to see truly where you are, because Airbnb knows that you're the host of your own property. So what they'll do is if you search in just a regular browser, you will rank at the top all the time and you'll be like, I'm really killing it. And yeah. I didn't know that at the beginning. I thought I was killing it and I really wasn't killing it as much as I thought.
Yeah, that's just another way Airbnb's algorithm is working. They are trained to already know exactly what you want. So they're going to show what you want to see up first, which is if you're a host, your listing is going to be up in the front.
So let me add to the guest thing right off the bat. So think about a big, huge fishing net. And the more restrictions you put on your property, the smaller your fishing net gets. So I have a lot of owners ask me, you know, how many people, I'll ask them, like, how many people do you want to, are you going to sleep here? And they're like, I don't know. You know, I have this many beds and I can sleep this many people. Well, let's say the house can sleep 10, for example, and you decide to sleep 8. Well, then any searches, obviously, that are going for those 10, you're not going to show up on. So you shrink your net right there. Now, that might be a trade-off that you're willing to make because maybe you have one bathroom and you think, well, 10 people with only one bathroom is going to be terrible. And you're right, it will be terrible. So you got to balance what you think is right for the guest, but also understand that when you put restrictions of any kind, no dogs, no parties, I mean, parties is a bad example, but whatever restriction you put on there, you're gonna decrease your ability to show up in the search.
Yeah. So when you're creating your Airbnb listing or VRBO listing or wherever you're posting your listing, try to think like a guest. What are they going to want to see? What's going to be important to them? And how can you make that obvious for the person searching for your listing? Anything else you want to add for that one?
No, I'm good right now.
I feel like that one's an umbrella term and we can just dive deep into the other ones they have, which kind of falls under it.
Yeah. And one thing I kind of want to do, and I don't know where we do this, but I want to do an incognito search for my neck of the woods. And I want to show the listeners how the number of stays drop when we start putting certain things
yeah,
in there.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. And maybe we can do it at the end of this?
Yeah, maybe when we talk about Instabook, which I'm sure is going to come up, we can maybe do it there.
Okay. All right. Up next on the article is don't skip on high quality photos. And for me, as someone who's stayed in a lot of Airbnbs and stayed in a lot of vacation properties, I will say this is probably my number one thing as a guest searching for a listing. I, like all humans, your brain is drawn to photos first, not text. So if your first picture is awful, it's dark, it's not standing out, it's, you know, weird, like it's too cluttered, whatever it is, people are just going to scroll right past you. The important thing is that you have the best photo of your property that you possibly can take as your first cover photo so that it stands out when people are scrolling.
Completely agree, 100%. And I'll add, like, the quality of the photo is obviously super important. So if you don't have a professional photographer, which only costs you maybe $250, if you know, to take photos, that's not a lot of money to make sure that you're a five-star looking listing. The other thing I really hate is I hate when the first picture is the outside of a house, unless
there's like a lake or something with it.
Maybe it's a log cabin or a tree house. I found a tree house the other day, something special. We have an A-frame that's right on the river, and that outside photo is spectacular. It's pretty, it's Instagrammable. But most houses are fairly normal, like the ones that we manage. We have a lot of just normal looking houses until you walk in and then you see these cathedral ceilings and beautiful hardwood floors and granite countertops, big, huge picture windows, you know, whatever it is, that are 10 times better than just shooting the outside of the house. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned this, but if you don't have a super fancy camera, if you have a newer iPhone, it takes just as good pictures. You just need to know how to take the pictures. And there's tons of YouTube videos online where you can search, how do I take good quality photos with my iPhone or your Android? The newest smartphones, they all take awesome pictures. And you can just take a quick little photo course on YouTube for free, and it'll teach you how to stage your photos, how to, what angles to take it from, how to edit them. And that's going to help you a lot, because a lot of our listings are just taken from our iPhones, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the good thing about smartphones now. They're so great.
But I always take those pictures and I enhance them inside, usually inside Apple's, you know, photo, whatever that's called.
Yeah, the photo editor. But photo, there's also editor, like, you know, Photoshop and Lightroom. All you really need is to make the brightness a little up, because I feel like a lot of pictures on these vacation rental platforms are all so dark. And then my other thing I would say is to make sure you're staging the house as if you have guests coming in. So, or that the guest is already there. So make sure you have your best linens that are all cohesive. Make sure you have pictures on the wall. Make sure you have decorations. Maybe set the table. Make it look like it's lived in and that the guests can just walk right in and enjoy their stay.
Yeah, I just took pictures today, actually, of a new property that's going to be listed tonight. And just to that point, I set out a plate with a matching coffee cup at the counter where the kitchen is. And then on the dining room table, set up settings so it looked like they were about to have a meal. And you want that guest to picture themselves enjoying your space and creating memories. And that's how you do it. You kind of set the tone and the scene for them just doing that. I think on our last episode, we talked about making sure like the guest was set up for what they knew was going to be there. For example, we used the A-frame and we had like the wood burning stove out front. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah.
So that, you know, really sets a scene for the guests. They picture their families around the propane fireplace on the front deck, looking at the mountain. And that's kind of what we're talking about. Like stage, each shot should be staged, whether it's a bed with a beautiful comforter and pillows to the couch to, and then the other thing I would add to this is you want yourself or the photographer to kind of take every picture from as far into the corner as they can at waist level. I think that's very, very important.
Yeah. What photos should you be taking at all? Should you, obviously, I think it's pretty obvious that you should be taking one of every room, but is there anything that you think is mandatory to have in your listing?
I mean, I think every space that you want the guests to enjoy, even if they're difficult to shoot, like sometimes the bathrooms are pretty tight, but you need to show the bathrooms. Like this house that I just shot again today had two bathrooms. I took a little shot of each bathroom. I do like to show a dishwasher. I'm not a dishwasher, but a washing machine and dryer, even though a lot of times, you know, that's not a romantic picture. But what it is showing the guest, I have it. This is what it looks like. You know, you might have a little laundry room, or you might have a stackable if you're in a condo on a ski mountain. But either way, it shows the guests like, oh, I can, if I need to do a quick wash, I can. It's awesome.
Yeah, like the amenities. So having your coffee pot out in your kitchen when you're taking the photos, if you have a hot tub, making sure you include that with it open, maybe with towels next to it.
Yeah, I mean, I took the deck from multiple angles. I took 65 photos today, and I will take out of those 65, I'll probably post somewhere between 30-ish, 35, right around there.
Is there a limit on Airbnb?
I don't think there's a limit that you can put. You can put as many as you want. I've heard a school of thought that says the more the better, because they'll keep on your listing longer. I kind of feel like you don't need to go that crazy. Just 30, I think, is the number. Below 25, I think, kind of limits you a little bit. I like to scroll through those photos and kind of get a good feeling for the property before I book.
I know you've talked about setting up your photos in an order that kind of walks the guest through the property in like chronological order. So they after the cover photo, of course, but they walk into the front door, they see what, then they go to the next room, they see what, and then that kind of like takes the guest on a journey with your photos.
Yeah. I mean, as a realtor, we kind of look or take our clients through the property almost just the way you just explained it. You know, we'll walk maybe a little bit around the yard at some point, either at the beginning or at the end of the showing. But once we go into the house, you know, we're looking at the living room and the kitchen, if it's together, and then that downstairs bathroom, and then it flows upstairs to the first bedroom. Yeah. And we're going piece by piece, like Hannah said, in a chronological order that the guest can really get a good feeling and not have questions too about the property. If you start getting a lot of questions about your property, around the landscape of it or the rooms or where's the bedrooms or, you know, does the bathroom have a tub or, you know, some questions like that, then you got to really look at your photos and your descriptions. I think your descriptions, we haven't talked about those yet, but your descriptions on your photos are so important, not only to describe the photo, which kind of, you might be like, well, it's a bed, you know, it's a bedroom. I could just say bedroom, but no, Airbnb really wants your listing to be well described. And that's not just that first big paragraph. It's every single picture that you put on there. You have to, you really need to put a little blurb on there.
Yeah. I think that's super important, and it can feel really difficult to think of what to write when you have three different shots of a living room. But what I try to do is kind of just say, like, what kind of things can you do in this space? What can you enjoy on your vacation in this room or that room?
Yeah, me too. Like, the property that I shot today has a downstairs TV room and an upstairs TV room, you know, and probably one of those shots, we're going to say like, hey, a great place to steal away to do some reading or to take a nap on this couch or whatever, you know, there's a little window seat down there, a little space that you can just get away from the crowd after, you know, or sometimes I'll say like, oh, great space to tell your stories from your mountain adventures today. Again, you're painting the picture of what maybe they're coming up here to do and getting them to really, you know, buy into why they should pick your property.
Yeah. And an example that I think I've mentioned in a previous episode, like a month ago, my boyfriend and I went on a mini vacation to Maine, which was literally only an hour away. And we were specifically looking for a house that was on a lake or a pond that had boat access so that we could kayak, because that's something we don't really get to do a lot around here. And so that's how I refined my search. And I found a house that actually had a kayak, a canoe, a paddleboard, all these different things that I could take out on the lake with us. But the photos were awful. The price was great. The photos were bad. So it had everything that we needed and it was in my price range. So I just booked it. And I remember showing Richard the photos and was like, well, I don't know what we're going to expect, but here, we'll just do with it. It's okay. And we get there and we both open the front door and we're like, what the heck? This is amazing. Why are these photos so bad? So that's one thing. Like, I was kind of flexible and I was really specific for what I was looking for. But if I was a guest that didn't care what kind of lake or kayaks they had, I wouldn't probably have booked that stay. So it's the photos that gets people to click through. Anything else you want to add to photos?
I think we've killed photos.
Yeah. The next one on this article is something I think I'm going to just adapt to be description, because it says seal the deal, and that's kind of obvious. Of course you want to get bookings. Of course that's going to help you rank. So we talked about photos, but we didn't talk about descriptions yet, besides the photo descriptions. What kind of things, because you have several places where you can write a paragraph or a little snippet about your listing. You have the description, you have like a summary, and then you also have like space descriptions, right?
Yes, correct.
So what do you aim? Is there any keywords that you try to include to boost your listing at all in the ranking or anything?
I mean, for us up here, I like to, again, be a storyteller, which again, I'm not a good writer, and I'm actually, I think, pretty terrible at it.
That's why we're doing a podcast.
but with that said, I do my best that I can. And I try to paint a story of the listing for what I mean by that. And I want to give you an example is how far are we away from everything that's up here? So some properties could be very close to Attitash Ski Mountain. They might be closer to Wildcat Ski Mountain. Those are two different, obviously, mountains, and they're 30 minutes from each other. You might be closer to the town of Jackson. You might, you know, so for an example of that would be like you go under the, you know, the covered bridge into this quaint storybook looking town of Jackson, where your home awaits, you know, something that's painting the picture of what they're going to see. It's a cool town where there's sleigh rides and all that good stuff. So, you know, you just kind of want to, I use very descriptive words that are, you know, kind of what people might search for up here.
Yeah. And I would also encourage people to emphasize your money makers, which is not the term I want to use, but whatever people would get to book your house. So for me at that last property that I stayed in and I was talking about, it was the kayaks on the pond. For some people, it might be a hot tub, or it could be having a full jet tub in the bathroom, or could be suitable for two families or something like that. You want to capitalize on that and mention it in your description. Be like, relax in the backyard in the hot tub. That was a horrible example, but if you have a fire pit, you can include that as well.
Yeah, totally agree.
Okay, the next one is respond in a timely manner. And this kind of goes along with our last episode, how to become a super host, because the quicker you respond to guests, the more happy they will be. And if it's an inquiry, that helps your super host status.
Yeah, what's interesting, and I didn't know this until just now, it says that answering in a very responsive manner, which we've, if you remember last episode, we said that your response rate is tied to that. But this is saying that your algorithm, Airbnb's algorithm, measures response rates and measures them. If you take more than 24 hours, it will hurt your algorithm to rank higher, which that I find super interesting, because we were always like, I always respond like ASAP. I think it's so important. From a guest perspective, never mind an algorithm's perspective. So I think this is probably why, you know, if we do a random search right now, we'll see at least five of our, you know, five or six of our 21 properties on the first page. So.
Yeah. And if you're also thinking of just how to get more bookings, the quicker you respond to someone's question, the more they will be apt to book your place, just because when they're searching, they want to know everything immediately. And if they are already heart set on your place, but they want to know if you have a Keurig or not, you taking 6 hours to respond to them, it might be too late.
Yeah. And we've seen the guest ask the same question to three different houses before. You know, so they didn't realize like we were the host of all of them. And they copied and pasted exactly the same words. So yeah, when you think, you know, they're inquiring about your property, you know, maybe you're the only one, but maybe they're inquiring on a handful. And to Hannah's point, your edge is your response rate. Yeah. And how you articulate yourself, right?
Yeah. It's like whoever gets back the fastest in the, like, what's the word I'm looking for? In like a polite, thorough way.
Yes.
Not just being like, okay, yeah, we have a Keurig. LOL. Is there anything else you want to say about this? I feel like we covered it a lot in the last episode, so we can link that episode in the show notes of this one.
Yeah, I don't think we need to go anymore.
All right, up next is to be instantly bookable. So instant book is huge on Airbnb.
Yeah, and I really don't know why you wouldn't be.
So what does it mean to be instant book?
So that means that you don't have to approve the guest, that they will be instantly approved if they want your stay, if the dates are open, without you having to do anything. Now, what I will say is that you can still put three, I think it's three things that restrict them. One is a photo ID. You can put that they have a rating from another host. And I think it has to be like a 4.5 or higher or something like that. Don't quote me on that one. Maybe look it up. Yeah. And then there's a third one. It has to be proof of being a legal citizen in the United States. If you're listening and you're not in the United States, then it's probably different for your country.
Yeah. So for one, it just kind of saves you time and saves you pressure. So instead of having to respond to all of these inquiries, you can just automatically get bookings. So that makes no sense of why you wouldn't do it unless you're trying to be highly selective.
Yeah, 100%. And I think let's do something real quick. Let's do that. Let's do the Airbnb search on here. We're going to put in six guests in the incognito window, and we're going to do a search. And Airbnb will only show the top three. Well, it says 300 plus stays when I do that. Okay. So let's put InstaBook on.
Yeah. So you can filter searches by being instant book.
So just by doing that, take a guess, you know,
100.
It went to 129 stays.
Oh, nice guess.
So it filtered out over, you know, probably 200 stays that don't accept InstaBook.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Back to my point, guests want to make a decision right there and then. They're not going to be thinking about it for days and days. So if one, you don't respond to their question right away, they're going to lose interest. If they don't get a response right away that they got the booking, they're going to be looking for backups. So you might as well just have instant book on to save your butt.
100% agree.
All right. Up next, refuse and cancel as few bookings as possible. This one also goes into being a super host on Airbnb. We talked about it in the last episode.
Yeah, we definitely talked about it a lot. So I don't have a lot to say about it other than understand that it also hurts you from a search engine algorithm standpoint as much as it hurts you from becoming a super host. So it's just bad practice to cancel guests unless you have a really, really good reasons.
Yeah. And one thing to note that they, in this article posted, it says, make sure your house rules are as clear as possible on your listing. We just had a guest who's been booked for a while now, and their stay is in like a couple days. And they asked, can we bring our dog? But that house in particular is not pet friendly, and we have a strict no pets policy there. So I let them know that, and they instantly were like, well, we're going to cancel. And we don't have a refund policy that's super lenient. So they ended up not canceling, but in our house rules, we have that it's not a pet friendly house. So make sure you are super clear on what you allow and what you don't allow, so that if that does happen, you can't just say like, well, you've known that whole time. They don't have like any ammunition to use against you in that case.
100% agree. And it says here, the more requests you refuse, the worse your search ranking will be. In order to avoid refusals and cancellations, make your house rules as clear as possible on your listing. So it's very important to make sure that you approve as many as you can.
And so that kind of goes into instant bookable, right? So if you are screening every single one of your guests because you want a very fancy particular person to be staying at your house, then that's going to just make your listing lower and lower in the search.
Yes. All right. The next one, Hannah, is price to beat your competition.
This is something we talk about all the time.
Yeah. And it's to me, it's not that simple. You know, like
it's a lot that goes into
it. I really think it depends on the maturity of your listing. So if it's a listing that is, you know, 5 years old, has hundreds and hundreds of reviews, is super host, then you have the ability to be more aggressive on your pricing and get more money per night and not really worry about this little piece of the puzzle dropping you off the first page. Because if what's more important is five-star reviews and having a ton of reviews. So you know, and that, and number eight, which is coming up next, is gather as many five stars reviews as you can. So to my point, if you have a brand new listing, you have no reviews. So you need to price your property more aggressively to gain bookings and to gain reviews, and coincides with that, right? And then the other thing I would say for that newer listing is, you know, be careful on what kind of restrictions you're putting on from how many nights they have to book. So if it's, you know, if you're not going to do one night bookings, then, you know, two nights is probably what you need to do. But again, depending on your, you know, where you are geographically, you know, for us up here, we can do a one night booking and feel pretty confident there's not going to be a house party.
Yeah. And another thing is the guests can restrict or refine their search by price again. So if they want to stay under 200 a night, if your house is 210, it's not going to be in that search when they refine it.
Do you ever search like that?
I do all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm very frugal. So I want to have.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
I want to have a lot of bang for my buck. I want to have a nice house, but not a lot of money.
So I'm like curious now, like if we put a price, I don't even know how to do that. You can filter that way?
Yeah. I think it says like price range. So anywhere from zero to whatever.
You're right. All right, let's do it. I'm going to do it right now. Let's see what happens. Let's put 200 in.
And this is, you have 300 and we're going down to drum roll.
Oh yeah. Let's see. All right. So I put 249 in, which is pretty expensive. And that dropped to 10 to 119. So let's put 199 in. Ooh, that dropped it to 68.
Wow. That's a big difference.
Yeah. So all right. So let's go 149. 23. Stays.
Wow. Because if you think about it from my point of view, is I'm only traveling usually with me and maybe one other person. So we need a small house. And my biggest struggle, especially when I'm looking on Airbnb, is that the houses are always either super expensive or it's too much house for me. So I always want to just refine it because I don't want to sort through a million houses that are $500 and I can't afford that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Also, a lot of friends groups, when they travel, they'll split the price too. So they also look for pricing.
So I just did something else on here. So I put InstaBook back on that brought me back to the 129. I took the pricing out, right? If you put Superhost as a filter, it drops it to 56 stays.
Whoa, that's a big difference.
Wicked big. And yeah, we say wicked a lot because we're from New England. So I apologize if that's weird. Wicked awesome. We say that. That's from Boston. So yeah, 56 stays. So again, we went from 300 plus stays up here. I'm incognito mode. Just InstaBook, just Superhost drops into 56 stays. I much rather compete against 56 than 300, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, and you gotta think like, there's a house out there for everyone. So if you're a couple that's looking for a small house, there's a house for you. If you're a large family that is looking for a large house, there's a house for you. If you are traveling with your dog, there's a house for you. There's going to be a house for everybody. So don't think that, yeah, there's 300 people out there that are hosting. I have no chance of success. You have chance. That's why you're going to be successful, because all those 300 people are successful. So you just have to believe in yourself, believe in your listing, and just follow these tips to stand out from the crowd and improve on the ranking.
All right, I got more stats.
Okay, I like it.
So I put in the filter of pets allowed and it dropped it to 29 stays.
Wow. And so, that's like two pages of stuff, right? Two or three?
That's almost like guarantee that you're on the first page. So yeah, a lot of people don't want to do pets because they feel like they're going to damage the property. We've been allowing pets since the beginning at our first home and our second home that we have up here. And I do feel like it puts us at a serious competitive advantage, at least in our market, which is a very drivable market. You know, if you have a market that people fly into, maybe Orlando, then maybe not. But for us, it makes 100% complete sense, and it pays massive dividends.
Yeah.
And people will pay more per night to be able to not put their dog in a kennel.
Yeah, true. All right. So we kind of talked about number 8, gather as many 5-star reviews as you can. And we talked about this in detail in the last episode. So again, that's linked in the show notes. Number 9, I think, is my favorite from this article. It's under promise, but over deliver.
So why is it your favorite?
Well, I feel like I already told my example of the house in Maine that we stayed in that, you know, had terrible photos, but had some cool amenities, and I booked and I had zero expectations other than I wanted to kayak on this pond. When I got there, I was so blown away because the photos did not do it justice whatsoever. I left a raving 5-star review. I'll be honest, I leave 5-star reviews for everyone just because I'm in the business and I know how important it is, but I don't always leave a super gushing, like, written review. So I feel like if your guests are coming into the house, you don't want them to have low expectations. You want them to have moderate expectations. But if they're coming in, they think, well, I don't really know what to expect. The pictures show this, and I think it's just going to be a kind of a cookie cutter house or X, Y, and Z. And then they get there, and it's like a whole experience that you've put out. You left a bottle of wine, you have a snack basket, you have a note, you have something personalized for them. That's going to blow their mind. And they're going to be thinking about that for the whole time they're there, and then when they're leaving review. But if you set their expectations super high, and when they get there, their house is directly on a busy road and something is wrong in the bedroom or whatever, there's a noisy dog next door, which is the example they give in this article, then they're going to be disappointed in their stay. So it's better to have them coming in with lower expectations and then get blown away than have super high expectations and fall short of that.
Yeah, so you touched on a lot of things. So let's unpack a little bit of what Hannah just said, because there's some simple things that you can do right off the get-go that will over deliver on your promise. And the first one is writing a handwritten note. Writing a handwritten note sounds so like not important. I just got to tell you, it is key to our success. It is a key. So our first home has 80 straight 5-star reviews. And our second one, I think, is, I don't know the number. Well, let's just say a lot, like probably over 50 now, all 5-star reviews. And I just feel like the personalized note to the guests with their name, hi, Richard, really thank you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for visiting our beautiful White Mountain neighborhood. We're so excited to host you. If you need anything, you know, don't hesitate to reach out, ask us any questions you might have. We're really excited to host you tonight, this weekend. Your host, Julia and Peter. Something that simple is paid huge dividends. And I can't stress it enough. Now, if you're on here and you got maybe a lot of properties, then train your walkthrough specialist to write the note, or your cleaner to write the note. They can do it. She also said something about a snack basket. Could be a bottle of wine. It could be, we have a place up here that makes homemade jellies and jams. You could get like a little homemade
jar
of that and some crackers. You know, you could put, we have a really cool coffee shop in town. You could get a pound of coffee from there. It's, you know, whatever you want, but you can, you know, we do a snack basket with some of the most basic snacks that you would think no one would care about. And 9 out of 10 times we get a written in our reviews or in a handwritten note to us that says, thank you for that. And they take them all and they love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause if you think about it, they've been traveling all day and they're grumpy and hungry and, you know, maybe got in a fight with their family on the way over. And then they get there and they are greeted with snacks that they can eat or a bottle of wine that they can drink to unwind.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we'll save, I have 3 powerful ways to get a 5-star review that are really, they don't cost anything and they're incredibly dynamic. And I think we got to save those for another episode.
Yeah. One more thing I wanted to add about this topic is that that kind of goes back to our last episode when we talked about not hiding anything from the guests. So they should know exactly what they're getting into when they arrive at the property. If you kind of hide things that are, whether it's broken or it's on a busy road or there's a really close neighbor, whatever, that's going to lower their they're going to be less satisfied. But if they know that going in, it's not going to impact them at all.
Well said.
All right, going into number 10, the last one, fill out your personal profile. So this is not on the listing itself. It's on your personal profile, which is exactly what I just said.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very important for them to know who their hosts are, because a lot of people will look at who you are and what your story is. And, you know, I haven't looked at ours in a long time, actually. Probably should look at it. It's not overly complicated,
no.
But it makes a huge
difference.
Yeah, it totally does.
Yeah. Make sure you have a really nice and clear professional looking photo of your face. I've seen hosts that just have a photo of like a flower or something, and people want to know who they're staying with. And on top of that, they don't want to see a creepy picture or a weird picture, and they're going to think their host is creepy and they might feel threatened, which has actually happened. I've seen some pretty creepy profile pictures before on Airbnb.
Yeah. And for ours, so, you know, we have one of me and mom hugging, which is super cute if I say so myself. It wasn't the first one we put up there. I think the first one was us together, and I think mom had a beer in her hand. And I think we've changed this paragraph, but I'll just read it to you real quick. Hello, we are the owners and operators of North Conway Property Management. We have a shared love of the outdoors, but more specifically, the mountains. We have been coming to the White Mountains for as long as we can remember, bringing our kids to Storyland when they were little, and then to the top of Mount Washington on an epic hike as teens. Skiing Attitash and Cranmore, tubing on the Saco River, our love for the outdoors has connected us with our passion of ultra trail running, snowshoeing, hiking, and more. And it's very, very,
it's awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool and true. You know, it's the truth. So make sure whatever you say, you're being honest. You know, you don't have to be epically excited about the mountains as like we are, but I'm sure you have a passion for wherever your property is.
Yeah, and be honest about your passion. All right.
100%.
So that was everything from the 10 tips article from Lodgify, but we had one more tip that wasn't included in the, well, actually two more tips in the article. So one of the important things is having good amenities, which I kind of talked about earlier, but one thing that, Dad, you're going to talk more about is taking advantage of Airbnb deals and what are they called? Promotions.
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, one thing I realized from the beginning is you need to be active on Airbnb's site. So if you have one property, it's pretty easy. You know, you go into the site, you move a photo around, you maybe tweak your wording on your title. It's important to be active on the site. And once you get more listings, you know, for us, I don't really have the time to go on every single site every single day. But what I so my pricing software updates the pricing every day, every day around like 8 a.m, it'll update the pricing. So that tells Airbnb that I'm being active on the site. But with that said, I still do go in to Airbnb probably twice a week. And when you go into their site, it has
go to their account to yeah, the calendar.
You go right? to the calendar, and in the calendar, to the right hand side, it'll say, you know, promotions. And whatever that Airbnb is offering. I remember in November, before November started, it was like November 1st to the 14th. It said these days don't have don't have as well trafficked days as normal, and we recommend that you offer a promotion. So I did that, and I got bookings because of it. And even right now, I'm on one of our houses, Walk to Paradise at Echo Lake, and we have 5 current promotions going. So you click on the box, and it basically allows you to put a custom promotion in. And it says promotions offer brand new ways for you to grab guests' attention. It's simple, gives guests a great deal, and get new perks that help you show off your listing on Airbnb. And what that means by new perks is basically Airbnb highlighting your listing for the guests. So when you do a search, they bump you up, number one, and they put some, bold, like get 18% if you book today, or new styling on the way your listing is in the search. So they also sometimes will send out emails to their email, to the list of, obviously they have millions of emails by now. So they know the guests that normally come up this way or have come up this way, and they'll send your listing with a discount to your guest. So a straight up normal Airbnb promotion, for now, it changes probably, but right now is a custom promotion, which gives them 18% off. And I pick the dates. So I put a 7-day 18% off in, but I can change that price to whatever I want. I can make it 10, I can make it 20. I can do whatever I want there. So I'm kind of conscious of the property that I have in front of me when I'm doing this. And I'm conscious of the pricing per night. So I kind of want to make sure my prices are pretty strong if I'm going to give 18% off per night. And once all of that makes sense, and then I book it, I book the promotion. And you can take these off if you want. You can, you can do whatever, you have a lot of flexibility in it. But the key part of this whole thing is it tells Airbnb that you're an active host, and that you're really, you care about not only your listing and getting it booked, but you care about offering a great guest experience too, and value.
Yeah. And Airbnb is going to promote anything that's supporting them. So if you do one of their promotions, they obviously want that promotion to be successful for anyone that does it. So they're going to be promoting the heck out of that. Just keep that in mind, because that's really a good way. You might be thinking, oh, I don't want to discount my house, but that might be getting you a couple of bookings that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. It also shows when you're searching, it will show like a little slash and say, this is on sale for X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. And the other thing, we never talked about yet was Airbnb smart pricing. And across the board, I've never talked to anyone that says, oh, I'm going to use that, because it definitely prices your listing way too low. But opinions aside, people have a lot of opinions about Airbnb. They don't care about the host. They yada yada. We get into a long conversation about it, but they're not stupid. They've built a $1 billion company, and I'm not saying go out and use smart pricing. I don't use it. I'm not saying that, but I would recommend just understanding like why do they want you to price a certain way, because they want you to fill your nights. If you're not booking at a certain occupancy level, then you're definitely leaving a lot of money on the table. So just keep that in mind. If you're feeling like your occupancy number's dropping, and I have a number, like if I'm below 70 across all of our properties, I start to freak out a little bit. So and again, that really depends on seasonality. Like November is kind of a step back month for us up here before skiing starts. But if I was below 70 in August, I'd be like, oh my, something's wrong. Because we're at 98%, just to put that in perspective.
Gotcha.
All right, let's recap this show because we're about to call it a day. And I apologize if anyone on here can hear my dog snoring. She's sleeping like a little angel. We're going to have to put a picture of Ellie on this. So let's just recap real quick. Number one, again, this was all about how to rank high on the Airbnb, VRBO, whatever sites you're on, how to rank on their algorithm. It all kind of falls in place for whatever you're doing. Think like a guest was number one.
Number two, and I think this one's my most important one, don't skip on high quality photos.
Number three was seal the deal. That means if you're going to, if you get someone that wants to book, make sure you close them out and book them.
Number four is respond in a timely manner, which means you need to respond to guests when they're asking questions, even quicker than the 24-hour requirement.
Number five, make sure you have InstaBook turned on.
Number six, refuse and cancel as few bookings as possible.
Number seven, make sure you're priced to beat your competition.
Number eight, gather as many five-star reviews as you can.
Number nine, Hannah did say that was her favorite, but then she changed it. Under promise, over deliver.
Kind of goes in together, I'd say. And last but not least, make sure your personal profile is filled out and appropriate.
What an awesome episode that was.
Yeah, it was great.
I hope everyone liked it.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening. That was our third episode of the Superhost Unveiled podcast. We are having such a blast recording these. We cannot wait for our next episode. We hope that you are left feeling inspired and ready to dive into the world of rental vacation rentals. Make sure you come visit us on Instagram. We're at Superhost Unveiled, and let us know that you listened to this episode. Of course, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast and share our podcast with a friend to help our podcast grow. Until next time.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.